This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
One in the books, two to go. Waiting for Calvin Sampson to join the big show as we get the second hour started here on The Usual Suspects. Due to join us at any time.
I had a bone to pick with you.
Okay, shocker.
I followed you back after my little hissy fit.
Yeah?
You never followed me back. What are you, Charlie Polillo now?
Huh? I didn't look at it. Huh? I didn't realize. I mean, you know what? Maybe I should let you squirm a little bit.
I mean, I'll unfollow you. We can do that, too.
Well, then I'll start.
We can go back to the
block. What was your quote when you did it to me? That you weren't kidding?
Zero tolerance.
Zero tolerance.
2019.
Yeah. Well, here's your zero dark 30, bitch. Yeah.
Also, just to clean up house, the Rockets 1-2 versus the Portland Trailblazers this year. So they do not have the tie break. So if the Rockets and the Blazers do in fact tie, Rockets would be the 4 seed. Blazers would be the 3 seed. Not good if you're a Rocket fan, because that would mean you would have to face Golden State in round number 2.
Right.
Should you win your matchup against probably the Spurs. I mean, it could be anybody at this point, but right now it would be the Spurs. But good for me, because it would further that prediction.
Your theory.
My theory that, especially if the Thunder remain at the 8 seed and the Rockets tie the Blazers and lose their spot, end up in the 4 seed, that would further my prediction of the Warriors being susceptible to getting bounced prior to the Western Conference Finals. So. I'm not going to say I'm rooting for it, Joel. I'm not going to say I have my fingers crossed that the Rockets end up in the 4 seed and have the tough road to the Western Conference Finals.
You would sacrifice the chance of your team winning a championship just to be right?
Not going to say that. I'm not saying, yeah.
Okay.
I'm totally saying that. I would definitely like to be right now. I don't care. And because you know what that would mean, right? You know what it would mean. It would mean that the Rockets would advance to the Western Conference Finals. They would just have the tough road to do so.
The tough road to hoe?
Yeah, because once the Thunder bounce the Warriors, that would make it easier for everybody. Or once, if the Rockets do so in round 2, boom, they're onto the Western Conference Finals. So, yeah, you know what? I will hope they get the 4 seed.
All right.
How about that? All right, then. There's
all right,
that.
We'll see. Because here's the thing. I mean, look. The way they're playing right now, I like their chances against most, but you do want to have the easiest road possible. You'd love to see, you know, a team like, even with Portland, it doesn't scare me because they're wounded.
Yes.
You know,
totally
look for a team that's not at full strength or doesn't have something that you have that you can exploit. And I think for most of the bottom teams in the league, obviously you don't want to see the Thunder in the first round.
No.
But if you can avoid the Thunder and get one of those other teams, advantage Rockets.
Yep.
But you want the easiest road possible. Last year, it couldn't have gone much smoother for you. You know, you annihilate the Timberwolves and the Jazz, and you're well-rested, and it showed exactly what they could do. They came in without a major injury, and they gave the Warriors all they could handle. And unfortunately, the only thing that set them back was the hamstring at the end.
Which somebody had a great point. Wouldn't you rather face the Warriors in the second round? There's a better chance of CP3 being healthy. That's actually, I mean, I know that's tongue-in-cheek and kind of funny, but it's really kind of true, too. The sooner you can get to the Warriors in the playoffs, the healthier Chris Paul's likely to be. That's a pretty valid point, actually. I know that
it
was
is?
Intended to be kind of funny.
But here's the thing.
And by the way, I got to clean something up. I misspoke. If the Rockets end up in the 4 seed right now, they would face the Jazz, not the Spurs.
And I like that matchup.
Yeah.
I think that's a good matchup for them. But when I look at everything that you're saying, this is kind of like the Nene theory.
Okay.
I'm tired, or the Dwight Howard theory before him. I'm tired of babying and nursing a guy that doesn't play back-to-backs and for the sake of the keeping him healthy for the playoffs, only to see him still get hurt in the playoffs. At some point, you just got to take the training wheels off and go, you got to go. And because this is the kind of rigorous schedule it's going to be in the playoffs. And if you can't handle it now, then you can't handle it then. And then we just got to make, it's better to know heading in that this is something that could happen or is going to happen, as opposed to, Chris, look, we want you to keep your minutes down. Then there's, you lack some of that chemistry and on court communication that goes so well. Chris Paul's got to be on the floor. I'm tired of babysitting Chris Paul's hamstrings. He's just got to go.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not so much on Nene. I'm actually fine with the way they do Nene, because if you think about it, Clint Capella's playing about 34 minutes a game. All right, so that leaves, what, 14 minutes left that needs to be filled by a big man, and you got Kenneth Faried that can do that. You've also got Nene, who's averaging when he plays. He's averaging 13 minutes a game. So there's your 14 minutes. So as a backup to do his job and play his role, and there's no back-to-backs in the playoffs. So I kind of like the fact that if Nene is healthy going in, just kind of as a bruiser and a big man and somebody to rebound and play a little bit of defense, I'm good with that. Plus you have, like I said, you had Kenneth Faried as a backup if you needed that as well. I'm okay with that, but I do agree with you about Chris Paul. Bro, you just gotta earn your money. Like, first of all, as much money as that dude's getting paid, you gotta be there. You gotta be out there. And you know, it sucks to go in thinking that, like, you're going into the playoffs a little bit timid because you're like, well, Chris Paul, we're all relying on him being healthy. And it shouldn't be like that. But you also have to know that when you signed him, or when you went out and got him, and you went out and got his hamstring, and you went out and got his health, and he's never been the poster child for a healthy NBA player. So you kind of accepted that when you did it.
But here's the thing. The problem that we have is most of his times when he's susceptible to injury in his career, it's the postseason. That's what's the most frustrating and painful and hurtful.
Sit his ass down
because
the rest
of the year, then. It's like the Rockets deciding between a Harden MVP or a championship. Harden's best basketball, unfortunately, so far to this point, we don't know what's going forward, has been in the regular season. And then in the playoffs, there's a huge drop-off. Mm-hmm. Chris Paul, same thing. Chris Paul is health-related, but Chris Paul is a Hall of Famer because of his regular season, but the man has never been to a Western Conference Finals. I don't know if that's in the past where they've kind of done what we're talking about here, maybe eased up a little bit. They knew where their position was going to be going into the Western Conference playoffs, whether it be with New Orleans or then with the Clippers. And then when he had to put the pedal down and really go, it acted up. But they need to look at, as much as they look at analytics, they need to look at how he's been handled in terms of his workload and all of that in every time he's been in the playoffs and try and do it differently. Because you say Nene, but Nene got hurt the last 2 years just like clockwork, and all they did was nurse him all year.
No, now that I do, I totally agree, but you can't predict that. I mean, you, sure. What are you supposed to do? What would you rather have seen, Joshi up here? I mean,
he gone.
Yeah.
They just flat out got rid of him.
That's what I'm saying. What alternative do they have at this point? They need to look for a backup big man for Capella going forward, yep. And they'll probably will do that in the free agent market and sign a younger version of Nene to come in and do that. But right now you're stuck with him, and it was decent money because you didn't overpay for Nene.
No, but it's damned if you do, damned if you don't, because if you rest him, it hasn't worked out. So yeah. if you give him a full workload, now people are going to think, and if he gets hurt, then they're going to say, well, you did that to yourself by giving him too much. There's got to be a happy medium in there, but what has been done in the past hasn't been working because they still have gotten hurt.
What's a good field goal percentage in the NBA?
I mean, it depends on the player, right?
Well, if you're in general, what's a good field goal percentage? If you were to see, we know that 30% from 3-point range is.
So the whole thing, if you're a Hall of Famer like Ray Allen, Steve Nash, it was always going to be 90, 40. It was 90 from the free throw line, 40 from 3-point range.
40 from 3-point range?
I think it was 90, 50, 40. 50% from the field, 40 from 3-point range.
Damn.
And 90% from the line is going to give you like Hall of Fame. I'm saying Hall of
Fame.
That's
really good numbers, though.
Yeah, that's Steve Nash, okay. Ray Allen.
What about Steph Curry? Like 42% in the playoffs? Is that good
from the field?
Yeah,
it's not bad.
It should be. If you're a big man, it's not good because you should be in the paint a lot.
If you're a guard, 42%.
Yeah, that's really good. From the field. That's very good. Yeah,
32% from 3-point range.
Yeah, that's good.
22 points a game.
That's not bad. Good.
That's Harden's numbers in the playoffs.
I
realize the results are bad. But I'm like, because I was like, man, we're always saying that because we see it. We watch it. We've seen him play those games. We saw the Mike D'Antoni spin in the clipboard with Harden next to him. Both of them lost in the playoffs a couple years ago, not knowing what to do. But I look at his averages and 28.6 last year, 28.5 the year before, 26, 27, 26, 26, all with the Rockets. He's never averaged less than 26.3 points a game in the playoffs. Shooting percentages is a different story. Early on as a Rocket, from the field, he shot 39 and 37%. That's awful. I get that, because some people are shooting that from three-point range, and he's shooting that from the field. But ever since those, I mean, the last 4 years, he shot 43, 41, 41, and 41.
Okay. I'm going to preface everything that's about to come out of my mouth. I'm going to preface it by saying I'm not hating on James Harden. I'm not going to label you that,
because I started this.
Yeah, but I am not hating on James Harden, but I will give you the rebuttal to what you just said. Okay.
Which is why I brought it up.
Like last year, he has soaked up a majority of those numbers against bad teams in the first two rounds.
Okay.
The reason why people are so critical of him in the playoffs is not for his overall performances like the numbers you gave me. Mm-hmm. It's for critical times in games. The block that Ginobili got on a last shot.
That was ugly.
The fact that in a deciding game seven on your floor, you chose not to shoot the ball for the first 21 minutes.
Yeah.
You
LeBron has done that in the past, too,
sure,
by the way.
Didn't step up in a game seven against the Warriors. The whole team didn't. But I'm just saying, this is why, because he's your best player, he's going to take the load and the brunt of the criticism. And the criticism on Harden is going to be, in the bigger games, later in the series, or in the critical moments, that's when he hasn't been his best.
Okay.
But numbers-wise, he has numbers that he should have as the best player on a really good team. But yeah, he has soaked up. You look at the Timberwolves series, and you look at the Utah series. Mm-hmm. In the first four games of both series, he blew the doors off of them.
He averaged 12. He put up 12 points in game two against the Timberwolves. He did 44, 12, 29, and 36.
So I said the first four games. So right. Three out of the four, he's 30-some plus. Yeah.
And you're right. The Utah series, he went for 41, 32, and then it was pretty pedestrian the rest of the series. 25, 24, 18. Yep. Golden State, I mean, listen to his points per game. And then I'll give you the results of the game. 41 in a loss, 27 in a win, 20 in a loss, 30 in a win, 19 in a win, which really surprises me. The fact that he got 19 in a win. And then the last two games that they lost, obviously, to the Warriors, 32 and 32.
Okay.
So we'll continue.
Yeah, we'll continue. Coach is on hold. So you want to go to a break, Nick? We'll get a break in, come back with Coach, or just get him now?
Yeah.
All right, great. Okay, we'll go right to it. We appreciate, as I previewed, Coach Kelvin Sampson of the Houston Cougars joining us right now. Coach, always appreciate you taking some time, but especially during this critical time for you guys. Congratulations, first and foremost, on a historic run for this program. Most wins ever for a Cougar basketball team. The fact that you got them back to the Sweet 16 for the first time in 34 years. I know you're a guy in the moment, and you don't want to get into too much, but I just want to say props to you. You and I text a lot, and I tell you all the time, phenomenal job, and just way to go.
Joel, I appreciate it. It's a really proud of this group of kids. You know, the greatest thing that I've seen the NCAA do is allow us to scholarship kids and let them go to summer school. So every kid we have enrolls in summer school in June for first session, 3 credits, then second summer session, 3 credits. And we're allowed to coach them for 4 hours a week while they're in school. So we took advantage of that time, knowing that we were losing Rob Gray, Devin Davis, Wes Van Beck, and Nur Azana. We had to establish an identity, get our leadership structure set up, and then we worked on the things we had to do to win games this year, starting in June. But these kids have really put in a lot of time, effort, hard work. They've learned to play for each other. As the season progressed, we were winning games while we were learning. Not necessarily a good team yet, but found a way to win games. And when the smoke cleared, you look up. This team wins the American Athletic Conference Championship. You know, they get to the Sweet 16. All those are great things to look back on one day. But like you said, Joel, we're living in the moment. Got a great opportunity Friday night.
Coach, this is Barry. One of the things that I'm so fascinated by and so amazed at is the buy-in that you've gotten from everyone on this team, from the one through the end of the bench. Like, everybody's bought in, and we talked about it the other day on the show. Every single second, they're out there hustling. They're doing exactly what you ask of them, and that says a lot about you as a coach. How are you getting these guys and everybody, role players on the bench, in as well, to all buy into what you're trying to get them to do?
Well, I think that goes back 30 years. The team that was 13 and 19 that we inherited, and just trying to get some warm bodies together so we could fill the team that first year. The reason that team won 13 games is that they bought in. 2 feet in. The next year we went from 13 to 22, same thing. A lot of teams, a lot of people may be paying attention to our team right now. This team is really no different than last year's team in terms of that. Last year's team was really no different in terms of the year before. What we've done is just upgrade our recruiting, as you should do as your program develops. But that part of it has remained the same. This team doesn't play any harder, hasn't bought in any more than last year's team. The biggest difference, I think, is our depth, bringing Dejon Giroux, Nate Hinton, Bryson Gresham, Chris Harris, Sed Ali off the bench. You know, you're bringing guys like that off the bench, your team's pretty good. But our culture was set up that first year while we were losing games. We were establishing our culture. That's why when the season's over, I considered it a win. I had no delusions of grandeur. I knew we weren't very good, so winning a lot of games, I didn't care about that. I just wanted to make sure that those kids understood what the standards that we were going to set every day. We had to teach them how to practice, how to surrender to our culture and how hard we practice. So I've been proud of every team we've had as far as that's concerned.
Talking about that, Coach, here's one that I've been thinking about asking you because it was such a great job, but when you looked at taking this program over, and you've taken over some programs, you built some programs, but I want to know the difference between building a program and having to rebuild a program. Because what you did down there on Cullen Boulevard was rebuilding a program in which the fan base was football-based, they had turned themselves off to basketball, the facilities were less than stellar, you were sitting in a hotbed of basketball talent in Houston, but they weren't picking that university and those teams, they were picking other state schools. And the rebuild, to me, seems to magnify how difficult a task it can be as opposed to building a program from scratch.
But this one wasn't a rebuild, Joel. It was starting over. We had to get the bulldozers out and dig the dirt up and lay a foundation and then go from there. But I took this job April 3rd, 2014. 3 weeks later, we only had five guys on the team because everybody had transferred. And I talked to Mac Rose, our athletic director. He thought we had a chance to keep some of those kids. And I wanted to know why. They want to leave. Let them leave. Don't make them stay here. You know, we're not going to an NCAA tournament next year. For instance, the Tayshaun Thomas kid. You know, he transferred to Oklahoma and went to the tournament. Great decision by him. Travis Reed, the kid from Kentucky, transferred from Stanford. That program hasn't been to the tournament since he was there, so he wanted to go to Kentucky. No, we have to start over. I mean, literally start over, and that's a build. Washington State was a rebuild. Oklahoma, a little bit of a rebuild. Billy Tubbs had great, great years there, but this is nothing like those schools. This was apathy from the top down, facilities. Everything was turned off. So, but that's why I took it. I wanted that. I wanted to immerse myself in getting this thing up and running. The chance to work with my family, my son, my daughter. I knew how good they were. And this, what we're doing gives you an idea of how good our staff has been. It's, you don't do this with one person.
No
this
question.
This is a shared experience. Every year we got a little bit better. And, you know, this year we're number one in our conference. And we're one of 16 teams still playing. But proud of our program. Excited that our fans are excited. Those fans chanting Sweet 16 in Tulsa the other night was skin tingling. I got goosebumps listening to them. So that was amazing. And I'm so happy for this team, especially guys like Galen and Armani, who bought into a vision when there was maybe nothing to see.
Yep.
Head coach, U of H men's basketball head coach, Kelvin Sampson, joining us on The Usual Suspects. Coach, I wanted to ask you this because I'm watching the game and things got a little chippy there before the half. And then at one point in the second half, there was a loose ball went out of bounds right in front of the bench. And I think you ended up with the ball in your hands. And there were some words exchanged with one of the Ohio State players and you guys bumped knuckles. And there was a few jokes made afterwards. What happened there? Because I don't think that anybody really talked about it. I was just curious what ended up happening there at that point in the game.
Somebody said something, somebody reacted to it. And then quickly thereafter, there was an apology. And we all laughed about it. But, you know, the heat of the moment, it's like the thing at the end of the first half. You know, we're a physical team. We're scrappy. We fight. Some teams react to that. Some teams don't. But I actually had forgotten about it, so it must not have been a big deal.
Coach, I wrote an article about this, and again, kind of to what Barry was saying, I was so complimentary of the fact that you've got a team. You don't have that one guy you just give the ball to on the wing like James Harden and get out of the way. You've got several guys, and you look at your box scores throughout the year, there are different leading scorers. There's different leading rebounders. Galen's just an incredible leader in the way he pushes the action. When you look at the way this team has performed, and then you look at your conference, and you look at what Taco Fall, Johnny Dawkins, and that group has done, you look at what Cincinnati did to be a 7, I believe, seed. But the fact that you beat LSU, you beat good teams, but you weren't getting the respect. Now you're getting the respect. It's almost like, where have you been all year when this team was not just blowing the doors off of just anybody that came their way, but really good basketball teams that have showed how good they have been in based on this tournament?
Well, I think that's normal everywhere, Joel. I never get upset about that stuff. I mean, familiarity breeds contempt. The more you see somebody, the more you see what's wrong with them. Whereas a team you never see, you think it's great because of something they did 1,000 miles away and you saw their highlights. People didn't realize how good UCF was until they beat us. You know, what was wrong with us? When they almost beat Duke was, wow, UCF's really good.
Yep.
So that's not unusual. You know, people don't know what they don't know, and that's why they're fans. You know, we're down here in the salt mine swinging that rock, swinging that hammer, hitting that rock every day. We know how good every team was. I knew that when the season was over, I thought the best team we played all year was LSU.
Yeah.
But I knew how good they were when we played them in December. I knew how good Oregon was, too. You know, they had their full complement of players when we played them. They had the 7-1 kid, Bo Bo, and all those other kids. That was a good team we beat.
No doubt.
Which shows you what a great job Dana Altman's done. But you look at the team still playing. You know, LSU, we played and beat. Oregon, we played and beat. I'm not sure if there's somebody else. But I think if you look at our rebounding stats, it tells you all you need to know about our team. And we're the number one rebounding team in our conference. Our leading rebounder is Armani Bruce at 6.5 rebounds a game. You know, we rebound as a team. We score as a team. Everything is about our depth. Corey Davis has been our best player. And we play through him a lot, especially to close games. But Dejon Giroux is very capable. Fabian White has really progressed. Nate Hinton's had his moments, certainly Armani. But really can't game plan to stop a guy on our team. Because we've got 10 guys all contribute to us winning almost every night.
I look at this matchup with Kentucky, Coach, and I've said this on the air all week. I firmly believe this. Cal has done a heck of a job, and we know that he's able to get those kids that are one and done. But the one thing that those kids don't have that you can't teach is the fact they don't have experience in the tournament. They don't have experience on that big-time stage. And they've got to perform now as the lights get brighter and the stage gets bigger. And your guys have been through a lot. And the one thing that I really like is it's on both ends of the floor. They're going to make you uncomfortable, and they are going to be relentless. And they have so many different ways to beat you that I think that's a huge advantage against a team that comes in lacking experience like the Wildcats. I'm looking forward to the matchup. I don't expect you to give away any game plans, but you have to feel a confidence level knowing that your team has been through some wars. You've experienced heartbreak in the tournament, but now it's not like this is your first go-round in a Sweet 16. Sure, it is, but I think this team is set up right to be playing the best basketball at the right time.
Yeah. But I also know that if I had experienced the choice between experience and great talent, I would always take great talent. It's still a basketball game.
Yeah.
I never lose sight of the fact that Tyler Hero is a projected first-round draft choice, P.J. Washington lottery pick, Ashton Hagens first-round pick, Travis Reed. They've got five guys that are projected either lottery or first round. And sometimes when you have that, that trumps that experience thing. So they beat Wofford without their best player.
Yep.
As you watch that film and you rewind it, play it, rewind it, Don Calipari's done a great job with this team. He really has. They defend. They defend. They rebound. They're big, strong, physical. They remind me a little bit. Their guards are a little bit like Michigan in that they're 6'5 and 6'6. And those are the Super Soakers. I'll just say this: we put them in timeout, but we have not retired them yet.
That's good. That's good. I hope nice. You bring them out in full force this weekend in a howitzer-sized one in that locker room. Good luck. Bring That's it home for us, Coach. We're pulling for you.
Okay, Barry and Joe, I really appreciate you guys having me on.
There you go. Kelvin Sampson, coach of your Cougars, getting ready for the Sweet 16 and the Kentucky Wildcats. Always good to have him be a part of the show. We're going to take a quick break, come back with a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We appreciate Kelvin Sampson spending some time with us. To take us to the midway point in the program. If you missed any of it, please go back on ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab. Click on hour number two. You can catch the interview with Coach Sampson. It's just a great story. The biggest thing and the biggest takeaway that I've had, and he's so humble about this, he never wants to take, you know, put the credit on his shoulders. But this man was basically extradited out of the NBA, out of the college basketball scene. And because of the Oklahoma phone call scandal that he always takes heat for, and because of that whole thing, he had to go and basically be an unpaid member of Greg Popovich's staff just to try and reinvent himself in his name. And then from that, he got to the Bucks. From the Bucks, he was a finalist for the Rockets job, and then Daryl Morey put him on Coach McHale's staff. Not that in most cases the guy that you got beat out for the job is going to be happy that the guy's coaching staff is going to include the guy that was the runner-up.
But he was cool with it, and he did the job.
Yeah.
And he's definitely a guy that knows how to grind through things.
And he's taken advantage of it because he befriended Harden when he was with the Rockets, and now James still supports him with the coup.
Yep.
And he was waiting for the right opportunity, and I've said this to you guys before, and you and I were talking about during the break. The fact that he has his family with him, he really loved Houston. Lisa always goes back to the point, we saw him one day with his wife walking over by Allen Parkway, and we could tell he really liked the city. But the fact that he was able to stay in the same city and go from NBA to college, his daughter is huge in terms of the program. She does all their social media. She runs the basketball operations. Son is, in his mind, the heir apparent to the job when he's done. And he can keep the whole family close, tight-knit together. That means a ton to him. That's why I think A&M's going to come calling. I think Texas is going to kick the tires and see if he's – because his contract is not done with U of H. But this run and his family will keep him with the Cougars, I believe.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. If I had family, too, I'd want to stay. But, yeah, he's definitely going to be a coach that's sought after, and he should be.
Yeah.
By the way, just want to say I apologize. While during the interview, you heard that – if you heard –
yeah, what was that?
That loud noise. That was Joel's phone, and it was very rude.
And you should have seen Nick's face, too. Like, what the hell are you doing?
Because I really thought it was me. I thought it was something I played off the computer or something.
That's my bad. Why? It was so quiet when it happened, too. I was like, God bless it.
I'm just so glad Coach Sampson just kept talking through it. Like, he didn't even. Too. Maybe he didn't even notice.
Thank God it wasn't Pornhub.
Oh, he texted me. What was that the a-hole played on his phone?
Shut up. Thank God, like, I had my speaker down on my laptop because we did have Pornhub.
I was
going to
say, thank God it wasn't Janine and Vince Neil.
Oh, no.
While Coach Sampson is trying to. I've been, oh, my God. I would have just walked out and just quit. I'd be like, well, that's it. Run that. That's the end of that. But, yeah, that's my bad. My phone was up.
I would have left your mic on.
Apologize. Maybe next time that's wise.
Janine. Oh, it's so big. Yeah, we're talking. Coach says, well, we're talking about our
your
bigs. We're working on
winning.
The bigs down
your
low.
Your chances of winning are huge.
Our whole mission is to get guys deep in the paint, going low, and trying to take it to the hole.
Somebody texted us like, for a second, I thought it was a wild animal on my car. I started looking around. Shut up. Okay? It's my bad. At least I owned it. I tried to give it to Joel, but eventually I owned it.
Yeah, right. Dump it on me first, and then if that doesn't go well,
man,
claim
it. It was worth it. It was worth it. Nick Cross, that badass interview with Coach. Can't wait till Friday. Me either, man. I give them a legitimate chance to beat the Wildcats.
Primetime slot, too. Yep. The game's going to be a night game again, which is great. It's a late game, though. That's the only difficult thing for his team standpoint is getting them to adjust to another start time where I think Central time is like a 8:55 start time. So it's a little later.
Yeah.
But
I really meant it, though. It was awesome to be watching the broadcast, to be watching that game, and to see the turnout from the fans. And to see this section, I didn't expect that because I know that the city is kind of buying into the Cougars, but you really have to be bought in to travel. Like a lot of people will stay home and watch it. I was talking to my mom on the way in. She's going to a watch party at Discovery Green to watch the Wildcat game. And so I think a lot of people are bought in, but you really have to be that next level of fan and supporter to travel with a team.
And this is the thing.
To have that as a great start for them.
He didn't want to call it a rebuild. But from a program standpoint, they were big in the Feist Lama Jama days.
Absolutely.
Okay, but since then, it's become a football school. They got the new stadium for the football team. They got a football-only practice facility. But their basketball facilities were terrible. The fact that Hoffman's had never been remodeled, redone, anything to make a change. It's the same building that Clyde Nakeem played in, and that's not a good thing. And the fact that when he walked into the program, he knew that people just had they didn't care. They went to the football games, but basketball games, they were drawing 2,000 people a night, if that. And people, I remember going to see Kentucky when they were a top five team at Hoffman's, and I could get a general admission ticket and walk right down to the second row and watch top talent. So it was a huge undertaking.
Nerd. Basketball
absolutely. It was a huge undertaking for him to do what he's done. But the fact that he's been able to do what he said he was going to do so quickly is just a huge feather in his cap. So for all the trials and tribulations of what he went through when he got his reputation tarnished at Oklahoma, he was able to really push through and make a name for himself. I mean, that whole Nick Lachey thing when they beat Cincinnati, and he's like, Kelvin Sampson, great coach, but dirty guy. You don't know that guy, okay?
Yeah.
You just know what you heard. And basically, with all the scandals going on in college basketball these days, the fact that you let your players make long-distance calls is really such a bad thing.
Oh, that's horrible. What an awful person to let them long-distance calls.
Yeah, so hopefully the run continues because it's been fun, and it really has been great for this. And you think about it, he really, for all the things he's done, he hasn't really gotten a big-time talent from Houston. I'm interested how this helps recruiting going forward in his own backyard.
I wanted to ask him that, to be honest with you, but I know that we can get him again after the season because I really wanted this to be about the moment. But I did want to ask about recruiting and how do you think this is going to help?
Yes.
Have you already started beating the trail in Houston and trying to get some of the top talent to stay local? How's that going? Like, I want to know all that, but man, that can be for a later date because this is absolutely the moment to just soak up what they're doing right now. Speaking of soaking it up, if you like soaking up the cash and keeping it in your wallet, man, you should go out and get Upside, the app. It's totally free. It's called Get Upside, all one word. You can search for it in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Download it. Put in promo code Barry. Let's just start there. Promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. Here's why I want you to do that. You're going to get a bonus cash back savings the first time you fill up through the app. And let me explain what I mean here. Get Upside is an app that gives you cash back for the stuff you're already paying for, like gas and food. So when you stop at the pump and fill up, right, you're paying, you know, $2.30 a gallon, let's say. I think I paid $2.35 before my Get Upside rebates the other day. Wouldn't it be great if you could get up to like 25 cents a gallon back? If you get 10 gallons worth of gas, I mean, I'm no math whiz, but that's like $2.50 a gallon back in your pocket. Why would you pass that up? If somebody came up and offered you $2.50 or $3 at the pump, you'd take it, right? Absolutely you would. That's why I want you to download Get Upside. Put in promo code Barry. There are over 500 gas stations in the city of Houston that are in the Get Upside app that you can go to and get cash back in your pocket. So take advantage of that. There's also hundreds of places to eat around the city of Houston that are in the Get Upside app, like Wendy's and Popeye's and Candelaria's Pizza and Cyclone and Naya's Mexican food. All of it available to you. You can get up to 35% cash back. Most of the time, I'm seeing 20 to 25% cash back in the areas where I eat. Why would you leave that money at the table? If you can get 25% back in your pocket, all you got to do is eat four times. That's a free meal. So check it out. Do yourself a favor. Download Get Upside. Put in my promo code, which is Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. Get that cash back, and hey, thank me later.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through the second hour of the show, it is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Having a good old time on a Tuesday, way back Wednesday, boys. I hate to be the nag.
No, hair. We already decided. It's hair bands.
Okay.
I didn't know we decided.
Yeah, we did. We already said that. And Nick, don't be coming over here like, oh, they have hair. Yeah, that doesn't matter. That's not how this
list.
Works.
I'll have a good list ready for you.
Nirvana isn't a hair band, so
I'm aware.
Kurt Cobain had hair.
I'm aware.
No, that's not how that works. All right, if you want to put Guns N' Roses? I'll allow it because it's in that era.
I'll allow yep. it has been mentioned.
Well, if Barry doesn't allow it,
right?
It's not going down.
Just so you know,
judge and jury.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, check your emails.
I figured your list is already in.
That's why
I didn't do
it
that.
It was never confirmed, but then he sends
that.
It.
No, I haven't done that, but I am going to start on my list.
I was
going
to say
right
yet, but the show is still young enough that you will get it done, I'm sure.
That's right. I'm typing as we speak. You guys feel free to talk amongst yourselves. Go ahead. I'll be over here for you.
Okay.
Bitch, don't even try it.
He's working on it too?
Hold on.
Screenshot that thing.
Take a picture of this.
Cheating ass Joel and Barry.
Yeah.
Well, while it came up, I said, well, might as well start.
Uh-huh. I'm going to tweet this out right now.
You go right ahead, sir.
Cheating ass Joel.
Fine.
I'm going to hurry up and just start firing off one man
MVP
email at a time.
Tonight. MVP showdown. ESPN going a little crazy on this. I did a video for Sports Map. Should be out by the end of the day on the fact that it's kind of some of the stuff we talked about yesterday with a little bit more detail. Fact of the matter to me is that's just fodder for national TV. Unfortunately, the league has scaled back on the local votes in every city and done more to give the votes to the national media. Even if you're a national media guy that thinks it's a great Cinderella story and more, I'm from Milwaukee. I grew up there, and I'm telling you, Harden's the MVP, regardless of what happens tonight. But I know that everybody's going to focus on this game.
I'm with you. In fact, I saw somebody tweet out, hey, it's real simple. Harden MVP. Antetokounmpo is the defensive player of the year. And that was their tweet. And I thought, you know what? Okay. I think it was Craig Ackerman who retweeted a tweet. And he said, Giannis Antetokounmpo is having an MVP-type season. James Harden is having a historically great season, and I hope you guys can see the difference. Well, very well put by Craig Ackerman, voice of the Rockets and friend of yours.
Yep.
Friend of yours, Nick, and an acquaintance
Friend of Joel's, but...
I mean, you're friends with him, right?
I know him. I mean, we say hi to each
acquaintance,
other.
Acquaintance. Yeah, acquaintance. At the very least, right? Yeah.
So, but I thought it was a great point, and it is good to differentiate the two, because I think there should be some sort of differentiation between those.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say is I'm not sure Antetokounmpo is going to be okay with that. Just the way... He's so young in this league. The All-Star... Think back to the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. That MVP meant a ton to him. And even in the interview, he said, I thought I had MVP after three quarters. So I know that this is a big award for him. I just hope he realizes he's going to have plenty of times to try and win it. And when you look at all the things we've said and done comparing them, it's not that he hasn't had a phenomenal season. It's just that there's a guy that's been able to do more for his team and statistically in terms of the numbers he's put up offensively. When we're starting talking about some of the greatest offensive seasons in the history of the league, that's saying something. Like when you talked about Russell Westbrook and his triple doubles averaged for a season. You want to get the rest of your list done? You want to get?
I'm listening. Yeah, okay. Yeah, Russell Westbrook and you talked about Antetokounmpo, and that's not going to be good enough for him. I'm right here. Nick, I'm sure has thoughts on this too.
Nick, he's just trying to dump it on you so he can finish his list.
I mean, I agree with you.
It's so obvious. It is so obvious what you're doing, Nick.
You wait till you see my list, though, Nick.
It's going to be amazing.
This is going to be.
You better win this way back Wednesday if you're going to do this right now.
This is going to be outstanding.
Okay.
It's going to be so great. And we have to do eight songs, right? Everybody.
Everybody
agreed?
Does eight songs. Okay. Because that way I can list eight songs for each of us, and there's not really. It's fair. You know what
okay.
I mean? Even if you don't get one of your songs played in the first hour.
We've never had this much silence on the show in the history of The Usual Suspects because everybody is so damn competitive, except for Nick's just kicking back.
Yeah,
and,
he is.
And here
we
are.
Joel and I are feverishly
like, typing if you take my
and
song,
sent.
So annoying. I hate Barry so much.
Bro, let me stop you. You really need to check your email before you send that.
Yeah, because you probably listed three or four songs that he already has on his list.
I told him my two favorites, and so he intentionally took them.
Is that what you did?
Look at my list.
Yeah.
He's going to be so angry at my list.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm just not going to play it.
No, go look
I'm
at it.
I'm going to give you credit for his songs. That's what I'm going to do. Really? This is Joel's list, and then copy-paste from Barry's email.
Really?
That's what I'm going
to
do.
So I'll just screenshot the email to you both. First of all, it'll be your public email address. They'll be public now. but just to prove that I got my list in first.
Don't play dirty with Barry Laminack. He will win. He will win.
I'll put your cell phone to
the crazy thing is I had so much Motley Crue on my mind that I was losing sight of other hair. I knew the Poison, but I'm like, well, I guess there's Rat, Bon Jovi, but, you know, whatever.
Did you see my list?
No,
Motley
I haven't.
Crue, Motley Crue, Motley Crue, Motley Crue. Wow. That is so cheap.
You went all Motley Crue.
All the way down, sir. So you've got some options.
You just, took both just not of me. Mine. I don't care that you took the other six.
Which two?
But you
which
took
two?
Both
which
of
two
mine.
Did you have?
Kickstart My Heart. Done. And Wild taken. Side. And
done.
Wild, oh,
sorry,
I know
sir.
They're both done. I saw his list. Those are the only
so
two I wanted.
Right.
That's fine.
Oh God, I was just like, I don't know what to do. And then I had all these Motley Crue songs in my. I was like, okay, I'm just copying and pasting.
Now I have
these.
A bad memory, but I remember when I put just more than one or two songs from the same artist.
Because he, had
I got killed
done
by you on
yeah,
the air.
You did two more after
you put
he
eight
did
songs,
one.
Sir.
Hey, that's hair metal. It's relevant to the discussion this week.
I'm telling the boss. I'm telling the boss on you.
Okay.
Tattletelling. That's
okay.
What I'm gonna do.
Do it.
I'm gonna do it.
Poor loser. That's what you guys are.
Oh boy. So Bucks Rockets tonight.
Yep.
Talk amongst yourselves.
So excited you got a list to make, huh?
No, it's already done. Now I'm screwed. So like I don't care.
Just go like eight rap songs and then he's got nothing left. This
first
wasp
of all, there aren't eight rap songs.
Well, that's
let's
true.
Be honest.
He would be stuck with like Wasp and Cinderella and that's probably it. What's
I'm
another?
Definitely tweeting out a poll tomorrow for sure.
Yep. And I
definitely
hope you people remembered this.
Honestly, the satisfaction in the look of disappointment in y'all's face
was enough.
More than enough. Well, I could come in third. I could come in fourth, and there's only three of us, and I wouldn't care at this point. That felt good to click send on that. Just like, son of a bitch. Well,
that's the clean version. Let me say that. That's the clean version. The dirty version can't be said on air, but. No, we got breaks to get to.
A lot more words. Hey, by the way, I just wanted to update you guys on the leaky tire, cracked wheel saga.
Yes.
I got the wheel from eBay.
Yes.
Pristine condition.
Good.
For $270.
Bam.
And then I went to this place called Tire Link.
Okay.
Right by the house. They were recommended from my Facebook group. Everybody was like, oh, yeah, you should go to Tire Link. They're great. Went out there, $25 to take the old tire off, the old wheel, put it on the new one, balance it, all that
fantastic
stuff.
Fantastic deal.
Got rid of the wheel for me because they were like, they put it in my trunk. I was like, what the hell am I going to do with that? He was like, well, you could maybe repair it and use it as a full-size spare. And I was like, oh, what would that be? He's like, $130 or something like that. I was like, that's not bad. But then I remember you telling me what it cost you back in the day. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
But then the other guy was like, well, if it's aluminum, don't worry about it because it's going to crack even more. He's like, you're just better off just getting rid of it. I was like, all right, well, then you guys just keep it. I'm not going to worry about it. I did what I needed to do. But, dude, I was a little skeptical about buying a used wheel on eBay. It's nicer than the other three wheels are right now
a
in my
lot
car
of times
because of the...
Yeah, a lot of times it's not because they're damaged. It's because the car was totaled or they replaced their rims and they just... don't have use for them. It's really not because it's damaged a lot of times on eBay. And you know how there's a rating system, so.
Yeah, there was one little nick, like a little scratch in it. That's
whoa,
it.
There's a little nick?
Oh, see. I knew. That's why I tried to immediately say scratch, because it...
That's the other thing. We're so conditioned now to know when we've gotten.
I was like, damn it, as soon as I said it. Ah, I shouldn't have said that, but yeah. It worked out well, though. I am pleased with the results. Much
super.
Like my Way Back Wednesday list. Pleased with the results.
Two in the books, one to go, hour left in the big show. Tomorrow, don't forget, the theme for Way Back Wednesday is Songs by One Hit Wonders. We're going to get to that and more in hour number three.
Don't go anywhere. Coming up in hour number three, we will announce the winners of the Usual Suspects Weight Loss Challenge. Hour three, you're going to get it right here. Stick around.
There you go. ESPN 975.
Need a new restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler.